So tell us, Emmy, how Nerdy Babies was born. Was this a long labor?
It was, actually. You know, I had, since I was a small child, I've always wanted to be a maker of children's books. So it's been something floating around in the back of my head. And really, I feel like it's Nerdy Babies is this beautiful sort of, you know, process of many hats that I wear. So I was a science teacher, a high school science teacher for a handful of years, and a high school English teacher, and I've always loved art. And so when I was a science teacher, my coworkers were like, because I would always make little comic strips for my students or have my students do that kind of stuff. And so they were like, you should make a book like that. You should do that. And I was like, oh yeah, I want to. And so, fast forward to years down the road, my daughter, she's 5 now, but she was, you know, they memorize books, read a lot. And so, you know, she would just go around and it was really sweet. And I was like, oh, it'd be really sweet if like little kids were walking around reciting little science facts. And I was like, oh, that would be a good book. Someone should do that book. I should do that book.
There you go.
So I was like, I have all the tools. And so it's just really like, it's an exciting entrance into the publishing world.
Oh, it is. Congratulations.
Oh,
Macmillan is a big hit.
Right?
Oh, it's a big
the whole
deal.
Process was so exciting. So I'm grateful. Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? This is going to be a series, right?
Yes.
You're launching a couple, but I imagine there will be many more. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the hope. So these are the first two. I'm working on the third and fourth now.
Which will be what?
They will be weather and earth, geology, like plate tectonics and rocks and minerals and fun
Ooh,
stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. These first ones we should mention are ocean and space.
Yes. So the four is just this nice set of kind of the basics of the world around us. Ocean, earth, space, weather. So yeah, Macmillan, I mean...
Was that like your first hit or did you go through years of looking or how did that happen?
I found an agent. And so that process, you know, as soon as I was like, I want to make children's books, how do I do that? So I went to my best friend, Google, and just started researching what that looked like. And so, and first step is like, oh, you need an agent to solicit most publishing houses. So I... Okay, how do I find an agent? And so...
So you got the agent before you had the concept on a storyboard or what?
Oh, no, the concept was down. So I had I had a very like beginning first draft of the manuscript and some sketches of the full book. Like it's called a dummy. And so then I had some full color illustrations too. So then I was sending that to... agents.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I heard back from one and we had a good back and forth. And then another prospective agent, I didn't know, she was following me on Instagram and we met at a place called Nerd Camp.
Ooh, how perfect.
Right. I know. And so that's in Parma, Michigan every summer. And so I knew she was going to be there. I was helping my friends have Book Bug here in town. And So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll help you set up. And they sell books there. And so I was like, oh, this is great. And so I saw the woman, her name's Molly O'Neill, and I was asking her after she was doing a presentation. And afterwards, I was like, oh, I think we follow each other on Instagram. She's like, Emmy, yeah, do you have a couple minutes to talk? And it turned into like a 90-minute thing in this hallway of me sharing what Nerdy Babies was and what I thought it could be and talking about who I am and what I was up to. And she was telling me where she was as an agent. And so we were like, and then she was like, I wasn't prepared to do this, but I'd love to represent you and your work. And
right there in the hallway.
Yeah. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Is this how it happens? And so I was really, I was just like shook a little bit, like, oh, okay. She's like, think about it. Nerd camp is a 2-day thing. And yeah. So I would see her in person the next day. So I went to Derek and Joanna back at the booth. I was like, she wants to be my agent. And so we're all celebrating, and then went home and talked to my husband. And the next day I was like, yeah, let's do this. And so
social media works.
Social media, right? Yeah. And it was such a thing where I'd been working on it for so many years, but you know, putting your art out there is such a vulnerable act. And for me, putting visual art out there is a lot more nerve-wracking than writing. And so...
Why is that?
I don't know. I have always seen myself as a writer and art. I don't know. I'm always like... hard on myself about art, I think. And so, and it was just so nerve-wracking to put it out there. And so I, starting my Instagram for the visual component, like illustrations and stuff, it was a little scary. And then, but to hear feedback of, oh, wow, I look forward to your posts. Because I was doing...
I'm a follower too.
You're
I enjoy
so sweet.
Them.
I think it was 2017 that I was posting every day.
Yeah.
A piece of art. And that was really selfishly, I mean, maybe not selfishly, but it was for me to keep myself accountable to making art, because that's often gets put on the back burner. And so, and then, so like keeping myself accountable, I was like, yes, I'll make an Instagram and I'll put it out there and then I'll have to post. And then I started hearing feedback from people, and that's how Molly had found me. And it was so moving. I was just like, oh, wow, okay. Well, I guess, you know, you take a little gamble and you put yourself out there, and good stuff happens.
So do you think of yourself as a writer or an artist first, or they go hand in hand completely?
I think now it's very hand in hand. I'm definitely, and what was surprising to me when I was soliciting agents and whatnot, I was hearing amazing feedback on my art. We love your art. You know, the story's not quite there or not a good fit for us, but keep us in mind, you know, we love your art. And so that was surprising to me. I was like, oh, whoa,
was
okay.
It? Really?
Right? And so, you know, but now it's definitely a hand-in-hand thing for me. And the more I've made it a daily practice, it's
so
just,
you work on this every day.
I do. I write and make some sort of visual art every day.
That's probably a big part of it, I think, sticking with a routine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was hard. I mean, at the very beginning, when I got this book deal and when I started working on the books, I was still with Rock. So Read and Write Kalamazoo is the nonprofit.
Right. That's how many of us in Kalamazoo know you.
Yeah, yeah.
The books are Emmy Kastner and Rock. We used to know you better
you
as
can still know
Emily.
Me. Right, right. And so that with that, too, I mean, Emily, Emmy, it's all the same. Well, people, family, friends all call me different things. So, and I thought too, the Emmy feels really like a friend sort of level too.
It's very endearing,
right? And so my hope is that, you know, with my future readers, we do have a friendship, and Emmy felt like that. So, but with Rock, I was working full time with that and working on art after kids were in bed. And so I felt like a creative vampire.
That's one way to put it.
It was just like during the night that I was working.
Yeah.
And these nerdy babies didn't see the light of day for a while. But we hired a new executive director.
You did. So you're not a part of Rock? That's Reading and Writing Kalamazoo. You're not a part of that anymore?
I mean, Anne Hensley and I, who co-founded it together, we will always be the co-founders, which is exciting.
True.
And ambassadors for Rock. So
okay.
I'm definitely involved in that end, and I'm really supportive. Rock is such a small organization. We have a small staff. Nikki Poor is our new executive director, mm-hmm. and we're tight. And so making that, I'll always be supportive.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Fostering curiosity in kids. When I read these books, a lot of it seems to me as an encouragement. Be curious. Ask questions.
Yeah.
Is that part of the theme that you're going to be carrying through the entire series? Encouraging kids to be curious? Because that's how you learn.
That's exactly how you learn. And that's how I like to learn. And that's how I've always liked to teach, too. you know, giving students and young readers even the tools to think critically and ask questions and really choose their path of curiosity, what that looks like. And so, you know, you see something, you learn a fact, and then you have a question. And following that path naturally, I think, is important. And I hope that this foundation, the structure of the books, really emphasizes that for young readers.
I like, too, how when you page through it, you have the text, but there's these little bubbles as the nerdy babies talk
right.
that gives you a little extra information.
Right.
I'd find I'd be reading something, and it's like, yeah, but what about this? And then I'd see a little bubble somewhere,
yeah.
and it's like, ah, she didn't miss it.
Right.
Like Pluto or something.
Right,
I thought,
right,
wait,
right.
8 planets or 9?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's, I mean, asking questions, I think, with little ones, too, I feel like a lot of people get tired of questions, you know, from little ones. Oh, that's just the way it is. Like, you know, and so fostering that and encouraging that and
yeah.
and knowing that, like, as an author, an illustrator, a teacher, a mom, I don't have all the answers. And so acknowledging that as well, like,
yeah.
well, let's find out together. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Hopefully there's information, too, which I was excited to include. Well, I hope that there's some information that's new to the adults, the caregivers, the teachers, the parents who are reading the book, that there's little pieces. Any adult I've shown, they've been like, oh, I didn't know that, or found new information,
too. Oh, that's
too.
Great. Yeah,
so,
learn together with
yeah,
your baby.
Yeah.
yeah. What are your thoughts on science in education today, especially for girls? It seems like it doesn't get that much attention, or it's being questioned more.
Right.
How important is it for very young children? What's the age group we're aiming for here?
I think technically it's like 0 to 3
okay.
With this series. I could be wrong.
I think it could go beyond 3.
I think it could definitely go
up to 5 even.
I think so. I think technically on the website it says 0 to 3, but I think definitely pre-K, kindergarten, even first grade, you know, there's real science information that I feel like is useful and accessible. Just because it says babies doesn't mean it's just for babies. I think a kindergartner would think it's funny watching a baby too, like in space or in the ocean, like
sure.
oh, babies yeah. are cute. We all think babies are cute.
But back to that question about
yeah.
science.
Yeah. I think we do. There are so many amazing books that embrace STEM and STEAM, you know, as far as, STEM stands for, science, technology, engineering, and math. And with the STEAM, that's the arts in there too.
I like STEAM even better.
Right, me too. And so, hopefully this series really encourages, you know, the accessibility and inclusion of everyone. There is a cast of 4 babies. And so, you know, having a diverse little group of babies is also, you know, a nod to the need and the necessity in our culture for, you know, an inclusive science environment. It was an intentional choice, and I hope that when kids see these books, they can see themselves in these characters and in these babies and see, you know, science isn't just for boys. It's not just for white boys or whatever, you know. So,
yeah, yeah.
So being like, and that's the fact of the world, that this reflects the real world. It's not just like a goal of having this inclusive, you know, cast of characters in the science realm. This is what the world looks like. There are people of color who are, you know, marine biologists, who are in space, who are, you know, geologists and meteorologists. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
being inclusive in that way was really important.
Are the
important.
Characters, the babies, are they going to be the same ones in all the series as it goes on?
With the first 4, for sure, it's the same 4 in the book. And even so, being, you know, an inclusive little group there, still, it not everyone is reflected. So it's something
True.
That me and my editor we talk about. Like, do we want to have a different cast or a rotating cast? So we're still talking about that.
First four are these four, and then the next four, something else entirely different. So in other words, this at this point is an infinite series. You could cover all kinds of topics. Yay!
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I do have, like, you know, sort of a strategic idea of how this world of nerdy babies would move forward. So,
will they get older, or they'll stay the babies?
You know, I think for this specific series, they are going to stay babies. But, you know, maybe there's some nerdy kids in the future. I don't know. We'll see. That would be fun.
We could even get teens, nerdy teens.
Yeah.
Part of your launch involves indie bookstores. How important is that to an author today, indie bookstores?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, shopping local and supporting local business owners is so important. Here in Kalamazoo, we have a lot of amazing booksellers and bookstores. Specifically with Read and Write Kalamazoo, I got to be really close with Derek and Joanna of BookBug / This is a Bookstore. And so they were founding board members with us and are so invested in community. And I feel like that is such a beautiful aspect of independent bookstores, that they're here, they're local, they are of the community, and they also are generous with our community and support a real culture of literacy for students, for teachers, for just community members.
And the dollars you spend there stay in our community.
Right, exactly. You
know? And that's really important.
Yeah, for sure. And they have been incredibly supportive through this process. And for me as an author illustrator, and so much of it too is being seen and having your book
absolutely
celebrated. And they've been celebrating every step of the way with me. So that's great.
So talk about your book launch.
So yes, this book birthday, so two books, so I guess it's twins.
There you go.
So May 7th is the pub date. And so the party at BookBug, the big book launch, is going to be May 11th at 11 a.m.
Okay.
At BookBug. I'll also be doing the story time, I think, that week, which is Thursday mornings. But I think that's at 10. So 10 on Thursday, and then the big parties on Saturday.
And what's going to happen there? Obviously, people want to bring their children.
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to find when they get there? What happens at this party?
You know, based on other book author illustrator events, I know that there'll be a reading, maybe
kind
talking
like
about
a story time.
Yeah, a story time. Maybe some live drawing, some fun, like, engaging thing with the audience and with those who are in attendance. Maybe talking a little bit about the process, a little Q&A, and then a book signing.
Well, thank you for coming in, Emmy.
I'm grateful, Zinta. Thank you.
Nerdy babies. My grandchildren are going to love
this. Oh, I love that. Thank you.